I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bible with me. If you have your Bible with me. Let me back that up. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles with you. I feel like before I go any further, I need to pause and pray for something specific. From some of the brief conversations I've had this evening, and from some conversations I've had with people in our church family over the last few weeks, I feel that right now there is a distinct lack of joy. That needs to be addressed. When the angel came to the shepherd, the angel said, "This is good news that will bring great joy to all people." This is a time of year when we are reminded that God did something amazing for us. God did something that is so ridiculous, so over and above anything we would have ever done, and he chose to do it because of his love for us. And the angel said, because of what God has done, this is a message that will bring not just a little bit of joy, but exceeding joy. Joy that is so much we can't even begin to contain it, we can't describe it, we can't put words to it. And if we are not people who are experiencing joy, that's something that we need to pray about, something we need to address. Now, I understand we all have trials. We all have heaviness. We all have difficulties we're facing. I'm looking at the faces here tonight, and as I look at you, I know many of your stories and the things that you're going through, and I know it's painful, and I know it's heavy, and I know it's a lot. And what the Bible shows us is that joy is not something, it's not the same as happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy supersedes that. Joy is something that we can have in the middle of our trials, not just because they're over and it's been resolved and it's done with, but in the middle of our trials, the Bible says joy is available to us in the middle of those trials. So even when the prayer hasn't been answered yet, even when the question hasn't been resolved, even when the relationship struggle, we're still in the middle of it, even when the problem is still there and it seems to be growing, in the middle of that, God's word says joy is available to us. So I just want to ask us, would you just stand with me right now and let's just pray into that, okay? I'm just going to ask you, if you're here tonight and you need joy, you're struggling with a lack of joy right now, I'm just going to ask you to do something that might feel awkward to you. It might feel unusual to you. This is not coming from me, okay? I'm just going to ask you just to hold your hands out as though you're receiving a gift. Does that make sense? Just to hold your hands out as though you're receiving a gift. You're not receiving it from me. I'm not the giver of joy. God is. But just as an expression of God, I need to receive joy from you right now. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that your word promises us that there is something available to us that we cannot produce. We can't manufacture it. We can't work ourselves up into it. It's a gift that you offer us, and it's called joy. Lord, I thank you that your word tells us the message the angels brought, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that because of that message, great joy is available to us. Paul said it in Philippians. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. It's available to us. So God, I pray tonight by your Holy Spirit, you would impart joy to our hearts. Lord, for those who are hurting right now, for those who are struggling right now, they've got something coming up in the next week, in the next couple of weeks, and it's weighing so heavy on them because they don't know where it's going to go or how it's going to turn out. God, would you impart joy to them in Jesus' name? For those who are coming into this time of year, and it's not a time of celebration, it's a time that represents loss because they've lost a loved one. There's somebody that's not there to celebrate with them this year. And it's a time of loss. God, I pray in Jesus' name, would you impart joy to them? Lord, for those who are in the middle of a relationship struggle right now, and it seems like there's no solution, and they're losing hope. For those who have been praying for so long for you to come through and it hasn't happened yet, the answer hasn't come, the breakthrough hasn't happened, and they're losing hope, God, I pray, would you restore joy? Would you impart joy to their hearts in Jesus' name? Lord, I thank you that your word tells us you are a God of grace, and we're asking you for this not because we deserve it. We don't. We're asking it of you because you are a God who loves us unconditionally. And you tell us that grace is available. You tell us that joy is available. So God, we just say yes to you. And we just receive what you're offering us tonight. Come, Holy Spirit. Your word says that you are our comforter. Bring comfort where it is needed. Bring joy where it is needed. Lord, we receive it from you. We say yes to you in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, would you say it with me? In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Would you take just a minute while we're, since you're standing anyways, take just a minute and would you pick out three or four people and just tell them you're glad to see them. Wish them a Merry Christmas and just bless them with joy tonight. Would you just do that, please? Now, before, I need to ask a question here real quick, and I need you to be honest and give me a show of hands. Is there anybody here who did not get something, who somebody didn't come to? Anybody here? Nobody came to you. Anybody? I want you to raise your hand. Control that child. Okay. So I want to make sure nobody got missed.
Yes.
Going once, going twice. Okay. All right. So I just felt like that needed to be said. That just kind of came over me. I need to share with you. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Let's just do this. I have to tell you, this happens every now and then, and it's rare when it happens, and it's 100% of the time when it happens, it's my fault. I have been preparing a message for about 3 weeks for tonight. It was what I wanted to preach on, and something just didn't feel right. It just didn't settle right with me, and I wasn't sure why. And this afternoon, today, like a few hours ago, I said, I just need to stop doing stuff and just listen. And God, what are you saying? And God put clarity in my mind and my heart as far as what I'm supposed to share tonight. So I found myself at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, after Joe helped me set things up here, rewriting a sermon that I had been preparing for 3 weeks and just kind of starting from scratch. And so I'm not sure what this is going to look like, but I'm just going to share some things that came to my heart and I wrote them down, and hopefully this will make sense to you and I won't make too much a mess of things on Christmas Eve. So Luke chapter 2, I just want to read a few verses. You heard most of the chapter earlier. The elders read that for us. Verses 17 through 19. It says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I want to start by focusing on those three words at the very beginning there. It says, after seeing him, the shepherds went to see Jesus. Think of what an amazing invitation this was for these men as they're at their jobs, they're doing their work, they're watching sheep, and all of a sudden, literally an angel appears to them, and it's overwhelming how powerful this angel is. They're terrified. And then all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of angels, and they give these men a specific invitation. The Son of God is here. God himself has come in the flesh, and he's right over there. Here's how you will know him. You have been invited to go and meet with him. What an amazing invitation that is. And I think it's important for us to know this. You and I have been given the exact same invitation. And that invitation is offered to us every single day. Every day is an invitation from God for us to meet with him, for us to encounter his presence, for us to take a break from whatever else we're in the middle of, whatever else we're doing. For the shepherds, it was leaving work behind and going there. For the disciples, it was leaving behind their jobs and following him, whatever it is, to take a break from that and to meet with him and spend time in the presence of the living God. We have that invitation every single day. And I need to say this, we need that. Every one of us does. We need time in the presence of the living God, the one who came to us, the one who came to be our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. Now, I need to give a plug for this. We've been talking about this for a few weeks. There's several of these on the table there. I want to see all of them gone by the end of the night. This is the deeper challenge, what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. This is something I'm encouraging everybody in our church family to participate in starting January 1st. That's a week from tomorrow. That's crazy. Brand new year coming up. But this is a challenge every month. We're going to give a new challenge. Here's some things to do to help you go deeper in your walk with Christ. It's reading through a book of the Bible together as a church, either once a month or several times throughout the month. It's memorizing a verse. It's spending some time in prayer. It's making a commitment in how we give. And it's making a commitment to get connected with other people in the family of God. Those are five things all of us can do to help us go deeper in our walk with Him and to help us get closer to Him, because we need to be intentional about spending time in the presence of God. If we're not, it's not going to happen. We'll go through our lives and the busyness of life and the stress of life will overwhelm us, and God will be put on the back burner. Our good intentions won't resolve that. What resolves that is making some decisions every day and saying, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to step away from this and spend time in the presence of God, because I desperately need to do that. I encourage you to be a part of this starting next Monday. Let's talk for a few minutes about Mary. Marla, thank you for sharing that song with us tonight. Verse 19 says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Some of the older translations say Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder is not one we use very often, is it? She pondered them. When you hear the word ponder, what do you think? You think of somebody just kind of sitting there thinking about things, right? They're just kind of pondering things. And that doesn't really fit with Christmas. The word that fits with Christmas is frantic, right? Like, it's a busy time of year. We've got parties, we've got shopping, we've got gifts to wrap, we've got decorating, we've got family we've got to meet with, we've got services to go to. There's all this stuff that has to happen. There's really not a lot of time for pondering. So the idea of just sitting there thinking about something, it doesn't really seem to fit with our concept of what Christmas is all about. But it is absolutely essential. Here's what this word means. It says she kept this in her heart and treasured it. She thought about it often. Here's what this means. It means she protected that memory. The memory of what was happening. The memory that God did something absolutely miraculous. The memory that God did something impossible. She chose to protect that memory and to guard the value that that memory had to her. Think about it this way. Those experiences you have, when you go on vacation maybe, or it's a conversation you have with a friend, or something that happens in your life that is meaningful, it's significant, it brings a lot of, you know, brings laughter and enjoyment to your life. Those experiences, what do with them? We take pictures of them. We post stuff on social media. We tell somebody about it. We maybe write something down. If you keep a diary or a journal, you write it down. Or if it's a vacation, you buy a souvenir. It's something to remind you, something to make sure you don't forget it. And that's what this means. It means she protected that memory, and it carries with it the idea of putting something into a lockbox. She treasured it in her heart. The idea is that she put it into a lockbox to protect it, to make sure nobody could steal it from her. This miracle, this amazing thing that God did in her life, she protected it, she guarded it, and she made sure that nothing and no one would steal this moment, this memory, this testimony. Nothing would take it from her. And I need to say this very clearly. Those testimonies in your life and in my life of God's goodness, those testimonies when God does something amazing, those stories need to be protected. The stories of God's faithfulness, the stories of the things He has done in our lives, the stories of those answered prayers, the stories of those times when God has come through for us, those stories need to be protected, because those stories, those testimonies are under attack. And they can be forgotten in the middle of the busyness of life. They can be forgotten in the middle of painful situations in our lives. The trials, the tragedies can cause us to forget God's goodness and to forget His faithfulness. The answers to prayer are forgotten when this prayer did not get answered. Is this making sense? Mary went through some stuff, didn't she? She faced ridicule and mockery because she told this story that the reason she was pregnant, no, it wasn't that me and my fiance did something wrong. No, I'm pregnant because God did this to me. She faced some ridicule and mockery for that. She faced opposition. She was hunted down and had to go into hiding with her newborn child because a tyrannical king wanted to put him to death. She went through some difficulty in her life. When he was 30 some years old, she would watch her son be brutalized and crucified. She saw with her own eyes, she saw that happen. Mary went through some trying, painful times, and all of that could have robbed her of the testimony, could have robbed her of the joy of what God did in that moment, but she treasured it. She protected it. She put it in her heart and guarded it to make sure that it maintained its value and nothing could steal it away from her. Whatever you've gone through this year, some of it has been very painful. I urge you to guard your testimony of what God has done in your life, how he has worked in your life, his faithfulness to you, his provision for your needs, his answers to your prayer. All of those things can be forgotten in the everyday busyness and in the trials and tragedies of our lives. So treasure those things, the testimonies of what God has done, treasure them and think about them often. Because those testimonies, they can carry you through some very dark and painful times if you hold on to them. As I look at our church, we face some challenges. But look at what God has done. Amen. Here's some of what has happened this year. This year, we baptized 20 people. I said we baptized 20 people. This year, we added 3 new elders. This year, we did 10 days of prayer. 3 times, and people came, which is awesome. Like, people showed up on a Friday night for 2 hours to pray, on a Saturday night for 2 hours to pray, and they did it 3 times. That's amazing. We have a renewed focus on prayer and commitment to prayer. Every Sunday morning, we spend a half hour in prayer before the service. Every Sunday morning, we share communion together before service and reemphasize the importance and the value of communion and what it means. This year, just last month, we celebrated 10 years together as a church, and we had fireworks, which is awesome on top of that. And one of the things that I have so much joy in seeing and being a part of is that there is a growing sense of unity among the churches in this community. I'm so thankful for the pastors in this community. This church is not the only church. There are several other churches where the gospel is being preached and Jesus is being worshiped right now. And it is awesome. And I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of something that is so much bigger than we are. And yes, you can clap for that because it's awesome. We've been through some challenges, but in the middle of all of that, God has been doing some amazing things. God has been at work in the middle of all of that, and we need to make sure we do not forget that. So I want to encourage you, don't get sidelined by discouragement, because discouragement will shut us down quicker than anything else. And the other thing that will sideline us is busyness. Do not get sidelined by busyness. The shepherds left their work to go see a baby. And because they did that, they had a testimony. They had an amazing encounter with God himself because they chose to walk away from work and spend time with a baby. How many testimonies, how many opportunities to meet with God do we miss out on because of busyness? Because we've got our to-do list, and nothing and no one will interfere with that to-do list, not even God himself. And just in case you're thinking I'm coming at you, I'm not. As I just shared a few minutes ago, as a pastor, I'm not immune to this. I was so busy, focused on my things, I wasn't paying attention to, okay, God, what do you want to say to everybody on Christmas Eve? You know, our slogan as a church, we're a gathering of imperfect people. That starts with me. That's there for a reason, and I'm that reason. We're a gathering of imperfect people. Sometimes we allow busyness to push God aside, and it's time for that to come to an end. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, be sober-minded. I love this. Be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. For the sake of your prayers. He does not say, pray so that this will happen. He says, do some things differently so that you can pray. In other words, the answer to prayer is not the point. Praying is the point. Time with him is the point. Whether the answer comes or not, whether we get the answer we were looking for or not. The point is communing with Him. The point is spending time in His presence. I urge you to make that your focus this year. Mary understood the value of that, and she guarded in her heart. She treasured it. She thought about it often, the testimony of what God had done. She chose to do that. The shepherds understood the value of that, and they took time to walk away from something important to them, something that mattered to them. They took time away from that so they could spend time with Him because they knew that mattered. I urge you, make that your focus this year. I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry and Scott, we just need three of us to serve communion this evening. If the two of you would come on up here. It says that Mary pondered these things. She thought about these things often. She treasured them in her heart. The testimony of what God had done. And the fact that she did that is an example to us. It's one of the reasons why this matters. When we share communion together, this is something that matters. Because what we do when we hold that bread, when we hold that cup in our hands, is we are protecting, we are guarding the memory of why Jesus came. We are making sure we do not forget what it's all about. We're making sure that we remember He came to this earth for a reason. It's not just so we could do this. It's not just so that we could give gifts to each other tomorrow. It's not just so we could, you know, gather and decorate and do all those things. He came to be the sacrifice for our sins because He knew we could not fix that problem ourselves. None of us can. And because of what He did for us, He offers us a gift. And it's a gift that is far greater than anything we will ever give to each other. It's the gift of eternal life. The forgiveness of our sins, that's available only because of what Jesus did on the cross. A brand new life, a brand new start, that's available to every one of us only because of what Jesus did on the cross. The hope of heaven, that when we take our last breath on this earth, it's not the end of us, it's the beginning of a new life in His presence that will last for eternity. That's available to us as a gift because of what Jesus did for us. And just like any gift, it has to be received. And if you're here tonight and you've never received that gift, I encourage you. You can do that right now, just in your heart. Just as an act of faith, just reaching out to God in prayer and saying, God, I can't save myself. I confess to You, I've disobeyed You. I've done things I should never have done. And I can't forgive myself. I can't fix that. Jesus, thank You that You came and You offered me forgiveness. I receive that gift. I receive new life from You, Jesus. Would You come into my life? Help me to live for You for the rest of my life. You can do that right now, and He will answer that prayer, and He will come into your life and make you a brand new person. That's why He came. This baby that we celebrate, He grew up and became a man. He preached to the crowds. He healed the sick. And He set captives free. And one night He gathered with His disciples and He took the bread and He took the cup. And it was a holy moment. It was something that mattered. A divine encounter that continues to have meaning 2,000 years later. He took the bread in His hand and He said, "This is My body which is broken for you." He took a cup of wine and He said, "This is My blood which is shed for you." Make sure you don't miss those two words, "for you." What Jesus did, He did it for you. He left heaven behind and came to this earth, and He did it for you. The Bible says He emptied Himself and He came in the helplessness of a baby. And He chose to do that. The God who created everything with just a word chose to come as a helpless baby. And He did that for you. The God who is perfect and holy and righteous and pure, who has never sinned, became the sacrifice for our sins. And He did it for you. What Jesus did, what we celebrate, He did this for you. And so this evening, this is a reminder. This is what it's all about. This is a reminder to us of why He came. So I want to encourage you, if you're part of God's family, in other words, if you've received that gift of forgiveness and salvation and new life, this is a way to remember what that means, the price that was paid to make that available. If you're here tonight and you're not a believer, this is not something that can save you. This is not something that will fix that problem. This is something that is done as a reminder of what God has done for us. So we're going to pass out the bread and the cup. There's going to be a song playing in the background. And while that song is singing, I just want to encourage you just to take this moment, just to talk with him, just to listen for his voice. What is he saying to you this evening? Allow him to work in your heart. And then once we've come back up front, once the song is over, we will eat and drink together in thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for us.